You would mind, open your Bibles or go to your Bible apps, whatever you may use to engage in Scripture with, and turn to Luke chapter 2 is where we will be today. Luke chapter 2. Over this Advent season, as we specifically pay attention to a particular word each week, one of the main questions that we're going to be asking in the context of the Christmas story is, what child is this? And this phrase, this question, came about. Anybody know the story behind what child is this? Anybody? All right, good. You're going to learn something today, because I learned something as well by putting this together. In 1865, an Englishman named William Chatterton Dix penned the words to a poem entitled The Manger Throne. A few years later, the first three stanzas of that poem were set to the music of an English traditional folk song called Greensleeves. That soon became known as the beloved Christmas carol, What Child Is This? This combination of poetry and music first was published in the UK in 1871 as a new song when it debuted in a prestigious compilation of Christmas music called Christmas Carols Old and New. For close to a century and a half, the question found in the title of this carol has become an annual reminder that something significant happened on that night in Bethlehem, as someone significant lay wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. This child would change the world forever. But the question is, what child is this? The title of the carol, What Child Is This?, is intended to be the primary question the shepherds must have asked on the night that they visited the baby Jesus. After their angelic encounter and receiving the startling news while they tended their sheep on the outskirts of Bethlehem, their heads must have been spinning rapidly. They try to comprehend all they experienced on a night that has changed every night since then. So follow along with me in Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. You notice that they were living and not working? Living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, as any one of us would have been. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. While no nativity scene is complete without the shepherds' presence, we have shepherds in our own nativity scene. Thank you, Keely, for putting that together. Subsequently, the answer to the Christmas carol's question also would be only partial without the description of what it meant to be a shepherd. What child is this? He is a shepherd, as we find out later on in the Gospels. In fact, Jesus later described himself as not just any shepherd, but what type of shepherd? Good shepherd. And told what a good shepherd does. So follow along with me very quickly in John chapter 10, verse 11. The passage will be on the screen. Jesus just makes this blanket statement. I am, which again is a phrase packed with all sorts of meaning, right? I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is a summary statement of what this child in the manger came to be for all people, for all time. He is the one who came to lay his life down for all humanity. Just as any good shepherd lays down his or her life for the sheep that they watch and that they keep and that they take care of. While at times the shepherds in the Christmas story have been labeled as the ones who were a bit rough around the edges and living on the lowest rung of society's ladder, Matthew makes it clear shepherds lived in fields. They lived out on the outskirts of town, away from everyone. Jesus identifies with them. This statement right here, there must have been a shepherd or two or many around. As this story is told over the centuries, shepherds hear this phrase and they think to themselves, he identifies with me. When I hear him saying, I am the good shepherd, I have a place with which there is relatability, with which I can set my feet and say, I know that. I can identify with that. Jesus identifies with them and describes himself as being a shepherd who has great responsibility. There is no greater responsibility than holding the life of another in the control of one's hands. And that is exactly what shepherds did. They were responsible for protecting the life of others. It was their responsibility and it was their calling. Throughout the Bible, shepherds are mentioned over 100 times. If we can understand who shepherds were in terms of how they are defined and described historically within the Bible, perhaps we can get a better and maybe even a more complete understanding of the question, what child is this? And also why God saw fit that the first audience of the birth of Jesus were these ragtag out in the field living shepherds. One of the first careers found in the pages of the Bible is that of a shepherd. Abel was a keeper of the flocks, according to Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Design patterns, these character patterns throughout the Bible connected with shepherds. I invite you to hear Isaiah 40, verse 11. God here, Isaiah talking about God. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. and later on in the Gospel of John, Jesus saying this about himself in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. If you are ever struggling in your relationship with the Lord, may you remember this statement. And may this statement become a breath prayer for you. As Jesus says this over everyone who claims Him as Lord. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The child that was born in the manger in Bethlehem would be near the pastures that David, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, grazed his own father's sheep centuries beforehand. The Savior of the world, the Good Shepherd, would be born in the city of David, a direct descendant of the King, who is also a Good Shepherd in his own bygone days. So what child is this? He is a shepherd and king, just like his ancestor, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, David. The principal duty of the shepherd was to make sure the animals that were under his or her care had enough food and had enough water. David's most famous poem speaks to these priorities in Psalm 23 that begins with truth that echoes the answer to the question of the carol, what child is this? Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Just truth statement. Just period, and let that soak into our hearts and our souls. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. David describes attributes of the Lord who not only provides nourishment, but also protects wherever he might find himself in life. These characteristics of the Good Shepherd help answer the question the shepherds posed at the Nativity. What child is this? He is the one who will provide for and protect all who are under His care. And this Good Shepherd would not only protect His sheep from wild animals, but also from thieves who might try to snatch them away from their home and the life that was intended for them by the one who watched over and owned them. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. He knows my name. Jesus knows us by our name. And He calls us, each one, by our name. When He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We live in a world of competing narratives, of competing voices. As followers of Jesus, we must focus our ears on what we're feeding our ears. And we must run away from anything other than the voice of Jesus and anything that leads us to His voice. Anything else, we must run away from it. It is no good for us. No good for us. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what He was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I love this, in amen, amen. Like, listen up, listen up. I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. What do you think Jesus is echoing out of? Psalm 23, right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The good shepherd went to great lengths to care of those under his or her care. He would make sure that they were kept intact and would go the extra mile to make sure that one who was lost was looked for until it was found. Jesus taught this parable in Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. See that you not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What a statement. This is not a part of my sermon, but goodness gracious, what a statement. Don't despise one of these little ones. They're angels. And I'm not an angelologist. I have not studied the world of angelology. But what a statement. They're angels in heaven or before the face of the Father. Wow. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go back for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. So what child is this? He is the one who left all the riches and the comfort of heaven to look for the ones who went astray. And as John reminded us in his communion talk, all of us have wandered off at one point in our life. All of us have. But from who I was and to who I am now and who I am becoming, the one that made the difference is the one in between. He is the one who left all the riches and comfort of heaven to look for the ones who went astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. But the mission of the shepherd is to look for and rescue the ones who are lost. This is what a good shepherd naturally does. This is who this child in the manger would grow to become. He is the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost, alone, exposed, and astray. Isaiah the prophet speaks of the Lord who would come in a vivid imagery of a good shepherd. So what child is this? He is the one who came to lay down his life. He is the one who came to provide for and protect his flock. He is the one blessed beyond measure with ones he would call his own and who would come to know his voice. He is the one who is the good shepherd. Kathleen, you can press play.
All right, listen up, boys. Y'all want to be good sheep herders and all, don't you? Two things you need to know. Number one, stay awake. And number two, you ask questions. You know, Benji, you don't have to ask questions now, all right? No, well, I mean, you can ask a question. I mean, you know, if something don't look right or, you know, if you got a strange feeling in your gut, then yeah, ask a question. For example, that night when all those angels visited, yeah, well, everyone else was asleep. Not me, I was awake. Just like my daddy taught me. Darn right I'm bragging. That's what separates men from the boys, son. So like I said, I was sitting there by the campfire, wide awake. And I just got this flutter in my gut. Like you know something's going to happen, like something big's going to happen, but you just don't know what it is, you know? I think that's it. You just don't know what you don't know. But I walk over that rise, and then bingo. I'm looking at the biggest, scariest angel I ever did see. Not that I ever saw one, you know. And you know what the first thing out of that angel's mouth was? Don't be afraid. Too late. And then that angel just got this nice look on his face. He said, I've got a message to tell you. And then the big old angel said, a baby got born tonight. And he's going to save the world. And then a mess of them angels came around. And they were saying, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. That's what they just kept saying. And they was gone. Well, I don't need to tell you that we don't get invitations like that, you know, being crusty old sheep herders and all. But we went to Bethlehem, and I met that mama and that baby boy. I think they were a little shocked to see us, but we told them about the angels and all. I think that tickled her pink. And then we all just kind of stood there, just making sure everything was okay. Kind of like when a new lamb is born. And about the time you figured out everything's going to be fine, you just settle in. And you just kind of take in the whole thing. That's what we were doing. But this was different. Because underneath that big bright star, we was watching the world saving baby. And we got to brag on him a bit. And Benji, this old soul, it's been awake ever since.
Arise team, you guys can, guys and gals can come on up. Trusty old shepherds. So how do we respond? This first week of Advent where we've tried to emphasize the power and the beauty and the mystery of this word, joy. Where the angels come before these shepherds and said, I bring you a message of good news and great joy for everyone, for all people, for all time. Wherever you are at in your journey of faith, pay attention to this word this season. And I pray that you may find it in more than just consuming of goods or buying of things. May you find it in the story that has changed human history, that is changing people. It's still changing me, and the invitation and the offer is that it would change you. So how do you respond? One, you come to know the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd in your life. And second, spread that. You notice in the story, one of the first things the shepherds did is they went and they told everybody. Our vision at Church in the Falls is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to what? Make Him known. Make known the joy that is in and through Jesus that nothing else in life can compare to it. There's no philosophy, there's no political stance, there's no toy, there's no gadget, there's nothing that can compare with the joy that comes in and through Jesus. So may you know that this season, and may also you be courageous enough to share it. Two last statements before we draw our service to an end. How do we respond? We respond just like shepherds. Isaiah 40, verse 9. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Cuyahoga Falls and Talmadge and Akron and Streetsboro, wherever you may find your dwelling place, here is your God lying in a manger wrapped in cloths, who is the good shepherd. Verse 10. That's it. Luke 2, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. We tell the story of the baby that changed everything. And may you be willing this season to let it continue to change. Please stand with me. As we have our closing song, if there is anyone here who would like to respond to the good news of great joy, that is Jesus. I will be down to my right, your left, willing to accept, receive, listen to you. If you would like prayers from the church, if you would like to know more about who this Jesus is, who this good shepherd is, please come and find me. Find one of our own shepherds, and they will be more than willing to sit and to listen and to talk with you. If you would like to receive prayer on a more intimate, personal level, our prayer room is open and one of our shepherds will be there to receive you. But however you need to respond, please do so as we sing this final song.